Hello, and welcome to the School of Serenity. Today, we are bringing you a show about a modern approach to mental health. We are being broadcast by Walk to Serenity and 4MTV. And 4MTV is an initiative in North America to bring awareness and mindfulness to mental health. The 4Ms stand for mental health, migration, multiculture and language, and mindfulness. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Kara Keem, and I am a psychotherapist, a Reiki master, and an author. And I have written a book, which we'll be talking about today, Discovering My Wings, which talks about the power that I found within once I started listening to the voice of my intuition. I am so excited for our guest today. Please welcome Dr. Tamara. She is a communication psychologist and a CBT practitioner, and she has a private practice, and we're going to dive into that and all of the work that she does. I'm very excited about that. She's also worked at a university as a professor, and she was a corporate psychologist. And the thing that has really, really bonded us is that she is also an author, which is really something that we're going to dive into today and talk about. So thank you for being here with us today, Dr. Tamara. It's been such a blessing to connect with you.
Kara, thank you so much for having me. We're definitely on first name basis.
Yes.
Off screen and on screen. Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction, really. And I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, it's been such a blessing. I mean, we really just met online. It sounds so funny. It sounds like we were on a dating app, but it was Instagram.
I'm instantly connected.
And instantly connected. I was like, oh my gosh, if only dating apps were that easy, you know?
I was going to say we should create that, but on a friendship basis. Yes. It works. Look at us.
Yes, here we are. And just even getting to know you personally, not just professionally, but personally.
Likewise.
Such a gift. And so one thing that we have both done is we have written books that were inspired by our personal life journey. Mine 100%. Is nonfiction. Yeah, yours is fiction.
That's my book. And that's yours, exactly.
Yes. So tell us all about your book and The Walk to Serendipity and what life events really inspired your writing.
Yes. So first thing that you need to know about me is that I've always wanted to write a book. It started when I was young. I was writing poems. I was winning little awards at school for short stories. And, you know, it's always been that dream. I've been an avid reader since I was a kid. This is something I thank my parents for. No TV, just books before bed. So, yeah, I won that. I was an avid reader. And, you know, I've always wanted to write. And then at some point, I was 24, 25. I went through a breakup that back then I thought was a major event. And today I look back and I have this smile on my face. You know, these very young breakups that you think break you, but are actually just bittersweet after a lot of other life experiences that you go through, right?
Yes.
And I met up with a writer who's a friend of my mom's. And I was like, I really want to write a book. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, so write a book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, yeah, but no, but it's, and I tried to find excuses. And then he said, listen, you just type an introduction, you start writing, don't write a book, just write. And then at the end, we'll see if it's a book or if it's not.
Yes.
So it just words started flowing from my personal experience, of course, from all the world of fiction that I've read in books. So, you know, dramatizing that experience and exaggerating here and there and adding on my personal experience as well with body image. I've been teased and bullied like most teenagers, sadly. And I really hope that's something that we're going to be able to tackle very soon. So, you know, I added that in my character's journey, and that's it. At the end, it turned out to be an actual book. So yes. I decided to self-publish. I think you are self-published as well.
Yes, I am. Yeah, absolutely. And I have a lot of themes of body image in my book because we know for women around the world, it is such an important topic.
Correct, correct. And you know as well as me how exciting the self-publishing journey is. Honestly, I have learned so much. I went to ministries, I had to make deals with libraries, I had to, you know, sign contracts to be able to sell my book. I had to go on conferences to actually sell it and advertise it, TV show, radio shows. And, you know, at 25, that's challenging, but that was a major experience that I'm so thankful for because it led me to actually be able to sell my book, Chasing Serendipity, to a publishing house in New York City that's going to publish it again under a second edition.
Oh, how exciting. Congratulations. Thank you. I just love that. I called it Walk to Serendipity because the name of the show is Walk to Serenity.
But identical so that you know you can merge them and it flows.
Such a similar theme. It's very serendipitous that you are on this show, you talking about this.
Correct.
Yeah, that is so incredible that you're going to publish now through
I am so excited. I am so thankful for the publishing house who took interest in the book, and they were so interested that they said, okay, we want to publish it again, and it's going to be under our name. So it's my first experience as a published author with a publishing house, which is very exciting. I'll definitely keep you posted of the publication date.
Yes, please do. Please do. I will be celebrating with you.
Of course.
Yes. And so publishing this book, writing this book, and self-publishing this book really led you on this path as far as your education and becoming Dr. Tamara. I mean,
correct. So you know, we all have this fascination with psychology, right? Some of us are scared of it. Some of us think it's just if you're mentally ill, or in some culture, it goes, oh no, if you're crazy, you go to a psychologist. But yeah. I've been fascinated with the subject, right? But I never took it on as my bachelor's or as my master's. I actually wrote my master's thesis on the psychology of media and TV shows.
Right.
What happened was when I wrote my book, I was already followed by a therapist who became a really great friend afterwards. And once I wrote that book and I was, you know, going back and forth with him about a few themes that we were discussing together that are mentioned in the book. And he told me, what do you think about that? And I said, to be very honest with you, it was a self-therapy. Putting it all on paper through a character's story was self-therapy. And it just amazed me that there are so many ways of, I'm not going to call it healing because we're not broke. We're just people who thrive to grow and to self-develop. So yes. It was such an amazing journey into, you know, turning the page of my past and moving forward, growing with that experience as something, you know, as something positive. So after that, I was like, okay, I did my BA, I did my master's, my PhD is going to be psychology. It has to.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. And I found the same about my book. I mean, my book truly was the most cathartic healing thing I've ever done. Just when we can put language around life experiences, I think it's so, so powerful. And one of my favorite quotes is by a woman, Lisa Edwards, and she says, it's by sharing ourselves that we gain the wisdom of many lifetimes. And so as we're healing ourselves, we're bringing these messages to the world that are inspiring and helping others heal also. So it's a really profound journey.
Fully agree. And you know, everyone can relate. You always can relate to one or more than one experience of someone else. So when you see that out there, you think, okay, I'm not alone. Okay, this happened to someone. Okay, that someone bounced back and is doing great. That means it's going to happen to me too.
Yes, yes. It's about hope.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And so after you got this degree, you become Dr. Tamara. I just love the evolution of this because something always draws us to the world of psychotherapy, psychology, you
Correct.
Know, these
Correct.
Different avenues. And so after you became Dr. Tamara, you decided that there is a better, more modern approach to psychotherapy than the old outdated ways.
fully agreed. So I never discarded, you know, a psychotherapist and a clinical psychologist and psychiatrist, because of course their job is paramount. But yes, I discovered that, you know, just like myself, a majority of people don't have an illness or a disorder defined by the DSM, right? They actually have day-to-day problems that they want to deal with. They're not broken. They don't need fixing. They're not ill. They don't need medication. And I thought to myself, why go through years and years and years of journey to actually, you know, get those answers that you can get in a more modern approach, in a more interactive approach through psychology of communication, through cognitive behavioral therapy, right? And I discussed that with my director of thesis, with my PhD director. And I said, you know, I don't want to be unethical and I'm not a clinical psychologist. And he told me, but Tamara, you're a doctor in psychology and you are ethical enough to know that if you see someone that would be diagnosed with an actual mental illness or with a disorder, you're going to be ethical enough to refer them to a psychiatrist, to a clinical psychologist. Yes. But people with day-to-day problems, you are more than capable with your degree, with your experience, with your research to actually, you know, take that on. But being a perfectionist, you know, I decided to add to my PhD certification of cognitive behavioral therapy, just, you know, to have many techniques, not just psychology of communication, but also have other techniques to use in order to help my client answer their own questions, basically.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that is such a powerful path. And it's interesting because here in the US, if you're taking, because you're in Lebanon right now, if you're taking on clients and using insurance, the insurance model here, you have to give them a diagnosis.
Exactly. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You're not covered if you're not seeing a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. But, you know, you can have a world of good done to you even if you see a coach or a communication psychologist or a counselor. Right. And I think this, we should raise awareness about that as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And the majority, I would say all of my clients don't have a diagnosable condition that can be found in the DSM. They truly don't. And so I find myself adjustment disorder, anxiety. I mean, who doesn't have anxiety in modern day world, right? I mean,
it's like we're trying to find a problem where there isn't any.
Yes. Yes. I'm trying to fit them into a box so that they can be covered. And that's become a problem ethically for my own work. And just something that I'm really reevaluating moving forward. And my therapist, because as a therapist, I see a therapist. My therapist has moved out of traditional therapy to do more empowerment work and empowerment coaching because of these really rigid boundaries that are very pathologizing for many people.
100%. You should not try to find a problem where there is none. You should guide the client toward their own solution because they're not broken. And confirm to them that they're not broken.
Yes, they're not broken. I think that is such a big piece of the puzzle. And you wouldn't believe, I'm sure you find this, I have so many clients who come to me who are completely misdiagnosed. I work with highly sensitive people. And so that can really look a lot of different ways in the modern world. And they've been giving all these diagnoses and it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. They're like, well,
100%. I agree. So when someone comes and says to someone, you are clinically depressed, you are planting that idea in their head. I'm not talking about the actual diagnosis. You know, if someone has the blues or if someone is going through a bad week or a bad year, they're not necessarily clinically depressed. But if they are not, and you plant that idea in their head, it becomes, as you said, a self-fulfilling prophecy, which means you convince that person of what they have, which they don't, and then you fall into that vicious circle.
Yes, yes, yes. And so we both recognize that psychology and medication and diagnoses have their place. I mean, we
100%, 100%. They have a paramount place, but not everywhere and not every time.
And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And I think that's what we're trying to distinguish here. I mean, my family went through this very tragic loss of my younger brother. He passed away. And the first thing we were all offered was medication. And it's like, yes, this is a trauma. However, we need grief therapy. We need support. We need resourcing. We need grounding, correct. You know. And so it's
and
like.
Then, and yeah. then when nothing works, and then when nothing works and you feel like time is passing and no other technique is working, then you consider.
Yes.
The DSM and consider the diagnosis and you consider the medication. But there yeah. are techniques to work around it at the beginning, as you said. I fully, fully agree.
Yes. Yeah. And here we all are 2 years later. No one ended up going on. I'm not saying there's anything wrong had we chosen that path, but there were other avenues and other ways that weren't even discussed before just jumping to that. And so we are a very quick fix culture where we're in pain.
Yes, exactly. This is why shows like yours, Kara, are raising awareness to, you know, to more modern approaches, to different ways of dealing with the world of psychology, right?
Yes.
Before, you know, we are just on the rigid road.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so that's why I love the work that you are doing and I am so drawn to it. Tell us about your practice and the work, because I know you incorporate movement and yoga and all these different avenues to help your clients heal.
So, you know, once I got that cognitive behavioral therapy certification, I felt more at ease with, you know, counseling. I yeah. felt that, okay, now I have more than one technique to actually use with
yes.
my clients.
Yes.
So I've always been a fitness enthusiast, not to call it a fitness freak, you know, and
yeah.
I've been working out at the gym for 10 plus years. I was drawn to yoga during the quarantine. I was on and off and on and off for years. I couldn't sit still in one class, but then quarantine happened. And honestly, it was my grounding hour. It was my calming hour. So getting into yoga got me thinking, okay, wait, you have the psychology, you have the fitness, and I got certified in fitness last year. And then I thought to myself, okay, what's missing? Let's get certified in yoga.
Yeah.
So I did that. Yeah, I did that with a school in Rishikesh in India, and I got my 200 hours down. And so I decided to create a concept. You know, we have counselors, we have coaches, we have yoga teachers, and we have personal trainers. And then I thought to myself, okay, then instead of having my client go do 1 hour here, 1 hour here, 1 hour here, how about I just mix them all up and give him a 1 hour of inclusive
yes.
session?
Absolutely.
So what I created was, you know, a session where you come in, we discuss that issue that you have. Maybe it's a day-to-day issue. Maybe it's a recurring one. Mm-hmm. And then based on that mood, that state of mind, we decide together whether you're going to hop into a yoga flow that's going to calm and overthinking, whether you're going to get into some yin yoga posture that are really meditative when you are depressed, or if you're going to hop into a workout circuit. If you feel a lot of anger, we're going to get those hormones pumped up and, you know, bring that feel good physically and then end the session on a discussion where your hormones are playing in your body. You know, you're happy, your serotonin is up, your adrenaline is up. And we end the session on that, you know, that final note. Okay, so how do we feel now about the issue we discussed at the beginning?
Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. That is so, so powerful. And that's so profound because we are these evolving beings. And how we are one day is not how we'll be next week or the week after.
Correct.
That's the other thing about giving a diagnosis. We shift yeah. and we evolve. So you offer yeah. different avenues based on where they are that day and what the emotion is in their body that day.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a day-to-day. We all like grow, right? It's a day-to-day journey. It's
yes.
not, okay, we solved that problem, then we're good. There's always something. And the more you better yourself, the more there is to do, right?
Yes. Yes.
So it is a journey. It's a day-to-day journey. So I'm a firm believer of that moment.
Yes, yes. How we are in this moment and just meeting the person where they are, assessing their needs and just guiding them. You consider yourself this guide, you know, rather than
100%.
Just-
Yeah. The first thing I tell my clients, number one, I'm not a clinical psychologist. So
yeah.
if you feel the need to be diagnosed, I will refer you to the top clinical psychologists and psychiatrists that I know.
Right.
Two, you need to understand, I'm not here to heal you. I'm not here to fix you. You don't
yes.
need healing. You don't need fixing.
Yes.
I'm here to just, you know, ask you the right questions that you are answering yourself and that will lead you to your own answer. You already have the answer. You just, your mind is just too blurred out to actually see it, right? And I'm just here to remove that blur and you're going to have your own aha moment and answer your own self.
Yes, yes, yes. You hand them their power back.
Yes, exactly. Just like you call it. And just like your book is all about that.
Yes, yes. Giving power back to the client, because we've become disempowered through, you know, these old patriarchal structures. And so here it's really about giving the power back. Like, we are each our own healers. We are each our own gurus. We just need the guidance.
Agreed.
I love that so much. And so we were talking right before the show began. Tell us all of the languages you speak, because that's, I'm just amazed. You start that, you said, in Lebanon right early on, three languages. Yes.
Basically, I was born in Belgium and raised there until the age of 6. And then my parents moved back to Beirut, their hometown. Yeah. And the great thing about that is our schools have a system, we're French educated. So our schools have a system where you start with French, English, and Arabic at a fluent level. You grow, your classes are given in all three, in two languages, actually, in French and English. But then you have Arabic all around, you're speaking it. It's the language of the country, right? Yes. And then you finish your school, your high school education with three languages. And then you decide to take on extras if you want to. And Italian had always been my go-to, the best language in the world. Yes. So I had to study that. And that's how I ended up with the four languages.
Oh, I love that. Now, do you see clients in these different languages? I mean, do you do your work in the different languages, or is it primarily English?
No, it's English. It's most of the time it's English or French, you know, if need be, because I'm currently working with people in the U.S., and people in the U.S. and people in the UAE.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, lovely.
So, yeah. You know, it's English is the first language used mainly, if French sometimes, but mostly English. Even here in Lebanon, we're very Americanized. So there's a very English language going on most of the time in our generation. So we're mostly talking English with each other.
Right, right. But even just knowing these languages allows you to connect with such a broader population of people. I mean, we are becoming a more global world, and just being able to connect with people in all of these different languages, I think, is a big part of healing. I really do.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And so you are doing a masterclass in your practice now. Can you tell us about that? Because this sounds just really amazing.
Of course. As I told you, as I mixed all of these up, you know, and I said, and I'm a firm believer that you can answer your own questions. Sometimes you don't even need my help. So I thought about creating a masterclass, an online masterclass, which is 3 hours, self-paced. It's created through PowerPoint presentations. I walk you through every lesson via voiceovers. I have video recordings of myself explaining, and I have also video demonstrations. So in a nutshell, what I'm actually teaching you is some counseling techniques in psychology and mental wellness, like modern techniques such as, you know, internal family system, psychology of communication, relational needs, cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, how you can use some of those questioning, self-talk techniques, positive psychology and gratitude to apply to yourself. I give a few lessons on yoga, the benefits of yoga, breathing exercises, and, you know, yoga postures for different emotions. And the same goes for fitness. So also fitness workouts for different emotions and the benefit of fitness. So you end the masterclass with a certificate of completion, and you have an idea, you know, of how to create your own inclusive session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think this movement piece is huge in mental health. I think it's just the missing component that is really, really big. I mean, you know, most people here are catching on to Bessel van der Kolk and The Body Keeps the Score. And it's really working with the body and getting in the body, because that's where these emotions are. There's always a location. There's always a place for them. So
you're a Reiki master. You're a Reiki master. Yes. You know all about how we hold our tension in our chakras, and you know it's body. It's physical.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think that is part of a modern day approach to mental health, is incorporating these other elements, energy work and the movement piece. And movement has been very, very healing for my daughter and I, because I believe in shaking it out and dancing it out.
Even in biology, you know that, you know, you're awakening those happy hormones in your body. Even if you're actually feeling down, it's your body's way of, you know, tricking itself biologically to actually shift your mood.
Yes, yes, yes. And my daughter and I will do that. We'll put on music and we'll just dance around. And sometimes, you know, we went through that loss with our family. We'll just put on, you know, it's hilarious, but the Britney Spears song, I Want to Shout and Scream and Let It All Out. And we'll just like jump and like,
but
just
it's healing. Move it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it is. It's just been an important part of our healing and our recovery from grief. And so for somebody to access this in the work that they're doing day in and day out with you is just really powerful for moving that energy and bringing healing into the physical body as well as the mental.
100%. Yeah. So that's the masterclass. It's actually online. It's available on, you know, the link that is on my Facebook page as well as my Instagram page. Yep. It's self-paced, as I told you. Anyone can register. Anyone will find it very easy to grasp.
Yes. Yes. And tell us, how do we find you on Facebook and Instagram?
So it's Haven of Harmony Therapy.
Haven of Harmony Therapy. All right. Great. Yes. So I love that. I'm like, I need this master class. I'm all about this.
All out there for you. Yeah. Go ahead. All your feedback.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And so tell our guests how they can just engage in a few self-care tips or a few things that would be helpful for them as far as some wisdom that would, you know, help them on their journey through.
You know, when I was going through a hard time, my therapist, just like you, Cara, I see my own therapist as well, was a big believer, a firm believer in gratitude. And at some point where you're not feeling good about anything in life, you just can't see it. Yeah. And my answer was always, okay, but I just don't want to be grateful at the moment. Yeah. And she said, can you just give it a try? She said, I don't want anything. Just give me 5 days. Give it a try in the morning. Write it down. Just type it on your phone. Write it down, whatever you want. And tell me how you feel. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it is magic. It works magic. I've always worked on gratitude. I have 3 5-minute journals that I've worked on, you know, previous years. But when you lose the habit, it's hard to get back in.
Right.
But when I was back in, it was magic. And when I tell my clients, really do gratitude in the morning, it's out of personal experience. It is magic. It reframes your brain, it reframes your thinking towards what you have, towards everything that you have rather than what you don't have. Yes. And it just, you know, it just reframes your mood.
Right, right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And as you know, I'm going through this whole host of COVID aftermath and inflammation and all of this craziness. And, you know, my therapist said, it was so profound, there's a lot not working in your body right now. There's just a lot that's not working. You're in pain. You're inflamed. What is working in your body?
Exactly. That's what I say.
Right? Yes. Yes. And yes. You know, when I sat down, there's a lot working well in my body. There is a lot, way more than I even realized, because I was so focused on what wasn't working well. And so I think that's what you're looking at. It's like, even in times of total disarray and things are not the way we want them, what is working? There is something that's working if we're alive.
Just wake up in the morning. Have you had a good sleep in a very comfortable bed? There you go. That's number one. Tick it off. Yes. You have hot water to take a really nice shower in the morning. Tick it off. Do you have a significant other? or family that you live with that you can look in the eye in the morning and smile and see that they're present. I mean, most people have a lot more than they actually think they do. And it's doing true. A gratitude journal reminds you of what you actually have.
It's true.
Especially, you know, if you have been living in a very unhealthy environment of wanting more and looking at what others have and what you don't have yet, and being surrounded by the same type of people, you need to really take a step back and, you know, look around you and go back within.
Yes. Yes.
Take a look at what you have.
It is getting back to those very basics. I'm talking basics of food and shelter, water, these things that we really just take for granted.
Of course, because a lot of, if you want to look at what other people have that we don't have, which is, let's say, material things, why don't we look at what we have that other people don't have, which is basics?
We can't take
them for granted. We can't come and say, oh, yeah, but that's basic. No, it's not, because other people don't have that.
Yes.
So it's not a basic. It's a blessing. It's gratitude. So go for it.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely true. And it's just this small shift in perception, especially when we're ill or we're emotionally drained. It's like, wow, there are things working in my life. So that's been a big one for me. Correct. I love it. Those are great, great things.
I know we're on such the same page together. So
oh my god,
it always flows when we're talking.
It does. And you've become, Dr. Tamara, thank you for being here, because you've not only become a dear friend just through our communication, but I'm just inspired by your work. And it's been
It goes both ways, and you know that. And we've talked about that more than one time.
Yes. Yes. And so this has been a wonderful time to have you on as a guest, and there will be more. I see us doing more.
I cannot wait. Thank you so much for having me. Really. Thank you to everyone who is listening to us.
Yeah. And we'll share the show, and you can learn more about the modern day approach to mental health and follow Dr. Tamara on her Instagram and Facebook. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
Thank you, Carl.
Bye-bye.